Welcome to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified GYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And now here are your hosts for NFP for Life, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our program, NFP for Life. Betty and I are very pleased to be with you today, and we have an exciting program that we're looking forward to. And we have some very special guests that we'll be introducing to you in a few moments. But first, as we always do, we'd like to open our program, usually with a prayer, but this month we're going to do it with a reading, that Betty's going to do from Genesis. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
And good afternoon, everyone. This reading is from Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God then took the man and settled him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and care for it. The Lord gave man this order: you are free to eat from any of the trees of the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and bad. From that tree you shall not eat. The moment you eat from it, you are surely doomed to die. The Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make suitable partner for him. So the Lord God formed out of the earth various wild animals and various birds of the air, and he brought them to man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals, but none proved to be suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man, and while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. When he brought her to the man said, this one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man this one has been taken. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one body. The man and his wife were both naked, yet they felt no shame.
So the reason why I selected that reading is because today we have with us a very special witness couple to natural family planning. And the importance of that particular reading is one of the most commonly used readings in natural family planning to demonstrate the purpose and the intent of God creating our bodies as male and female, and then the two coming together to become one. And so today we have with us Jim and Jen Volpe, who are first-time guests on this particular radio program, who are very involved and very happily married and witness couples to natural family planning. So welcome, Jen and Jim. And
thank
welcome.
You, Dr. Les.
You're welcome.
Welcome. It's great to have you here. And it's great to have the pleasure of knowing people that are so strong in their faith at such a young and started their marriage in this deep faith of God and of natural family planning to incorporate all that. So
before you get started with that, I just want to remind everybody that our phone lines are open. This is a live radio call-in program at WISP 1570 Holy Spirit Radio at 215-345-1570. You can also listen to us online, and you can go to the radio website at HolySpiritRadio.org and click on and listen to the program if you can't hear us on the AM stations, because sometimes when it gets to be a little dark, the wattage goes down and it gets a little tough for all of you out there of our millions of listeners in Northeast Philadelphia that have difficulty getting this in. So why don't you start the interview, Beth?
Well, again, welcome, Jen and Jim.
Thank you.
And I just want to have our audience get to know you a little bit better, and I'm going to ask you some personal questions. And
our favorite.
I want to find out, where did you two meet?
We actually met at Penn State together, fortunately, the Newman Catholic Student Association. I went on a retreat. I told all my friends I went on a retreat to meet God, but if I met a girl, then that just was meant to happen. And Jen happened to be that girl.
Oh, how nice. So you both went to Penn State?
Yes, we both went to Penn State. I grew up in the area. I was about 45 minutes northwest, so I'd kind of been in that area all my life. And going to Penn State was kind of a big change. It's such a small area up there, and all the different people and everything. And just getting involved in something like Newman was a great thing for me. Of course, it wasn't the first place that I went. I actually grew up not in the Catholic Church.
Oh.
And so I was just coming into the church. I'd been in about a year whenever I joined up with the Newman Club and went on this retreat to meet other people, other Catholics my age.
Oh, how
and
wonderful.
For me, I had been raised in the church, but Newman was really my re-evangelization, like John Paul II says, that my faith, you know, I did everything you needed to do. I went to Mass. I did all the rules. I didn't even fast or anything, but this was when my faith meant something to me, and it was very exciting to meet someone else who was going through that process.
And what a wonderful thing to be in a secular college and be able to meet each other in faith. And it gives me great pleasure to know that you don't have to be in a Catholic college to meet, you know, beautiful people of faith.
Sure, that's one of the things we think, that it's better to be in a secular college where you kind of get pushed and you have to believe your faith if you're going to make it through.
Right.
And in that way, it's good preparation for natural family planning, because even with that, some people in the faith don't believe it. So you kind of have to be prepared to live it, not just say
it. And I think a lot of people, a lot of younger people, with the culture the way it is today, they don't even, it's not even that they don't believe it. They don't know what it is. They've never been exposed to it. They don't understand why. And to develop in your faith and find out.
I agree. I think ignorance is really the biggest enemy, I know.
Yeah.
I'm happy to find a doctor who understands, like Dr. Les does.
Yeah.
Just have to not have that fight. I mean, Jen's had some experiences with her doctors that just, they think we're crazy or we're nuts, or they look down on us and say, well, you know, you can still get pregnant with that.
Yeah. And is that so terrible, really? You know, that's what marriage is for and is about.
Well, that's what the reading was about. You know, the two shall become one. They leave their mother and their father. And we didn't go a little further along because in the interest of time, we didn't want to take too much time away from your guys' story. But later on in that same chapter, he talks about being fruitful and multiplying and filling the earth. And I think that that's the mandate. That's part of the entire marriage covenant, and that's what's so beautiful about having witness couples who are fulfilling that mandate and also following the teachings of the church. When did you guys get married after that? I mean, I know we're fast-forwarding a little bit, but you met at the Newman Center at Penn State and then got married.
Well, did you date for a long time?
We were dating. We were officially dating for about 10 months.
Uh-huh.
There was a little bit in the beginning where Jim was sort of seeing some other people, and so I'm like, well, I had learned by this point.
It was non-exclusive.
I didn't let him kiss me until a couple months after this, and after all these other girls were gone. I knew that the relationship needed to be something serious, and I needed to go into it from the beginning, setting down ground rules. And I was very happy when I found out he understood why I was saying this, and he respected that, and he was the first guy that I met and dated who really respected that. So I knew there was something special from the beginning.
Yeah, that is special.
And then I guess right after graduation, I proposed to her on a slightly botched trip to Hershey Park. I had knew the park opened for the season, but it hadn't opened on Wednesdays in the season yet, and we had gone there on a Wednesday, and it rained like you couldn't believe. But fortunately, Chocolate World was still open, so we could at least do the chocolate tour. And she said yes, which was the exciting news. And then we were married in July of 2001.
Great.
Yeah.
That makes it so much more memorable when you have, like, you know, crazy weather and all these little things that go wrong, you know?
It was interesting. I knew whenever we were approaching Hershey Park and I could see that the rides weren't moving and I could just see him getting all kind of very upset. And I'm like, well, why is he getting so upset? And I was mad, really. I was mad and when I saw him, I just want to yell at him. But then I thought, there's something going on and I shouldn't yell at him right now.
Yeah.
I'll just say, well, let's go see if Chocolate World is open. So.
Chocolate's a good way to somebody's heart. You know? So, I mean, you know,
yeah,
the day wasn't going to be a total wash.
I told him I'd drive that far for fudge. So,
when did you guys first hear about natural family planning, or when were you introduced to it? Did you hear anything before you were married, or look into it after you were married, or?
Well, I heard about it for the first time when I was going through RCIA.
Really?
They brought in a witness couple to talk about it. And I kind of had known the church's teaching on contraception at that point. I didn't really understand it, but I was pretty much willing to accept the authority of the church at that point and say, okay, well, if the church teaches this, then it must be true. And that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of left it at that. I didn't really get into whether it was really effective or anything. I thought, well, there are some people doing it and
exactly.
It seems like a good thing.
Right.
And then I think later they actually brought in either the same couple or a different couple to talk at the Newman Club.
Oh,
and
very
so
nice.
So that was about the second time I heard of it, and I started looking it up at some point when we started getting serious.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Well, you know, I always say that there is no such thing as a coincidence, so it was no small coincidence that you got the same couple in the Newman Club that you had in RCIA.
Yeah, that's true.
So there is a message that's being sent.
And
there.
Actually, this March will be that couple at the Newman Club we're going back to.
Oh,
to
wonderful.
Be a witness couple, yes.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And as for me, I really heard NFP from Jen. I didn't, at that point in my life with my re-evangelization, I had been, not that my life was horrible, I just realized I was doing a pretty bad job at it. So I figured if the church says it, I'll just do it because it can't be any worse than I'm running things.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, a lot of students, even high school and college students, they don't ever get exposure to any of this until they actually get engaged, go to pre-Cana. And they don't grow up with it unless maybe their parents are involved with NFP. Mm-hmm. But I think that we're really lacking in that ability to explain why the church is against contraception and to embrace NFP and to embrace children lovingly and not wait until pre-Cana. Because sometimes I just think it's shocking in pre-Cana. It's like, no way, I'm not doing that.
We've had that experience, too, as a witness couple in pre-Cana. People just, I mean, usually they're polite and just sit there and don't say anything, but every now and then you get dirty looks or, you know,
statements. By that time, most couples are already sexually active, contracepting and cohabiting. And so even in pre-Cana and even in the Catholic Church, as bad as it may sound, the truth is what it is. And as we've only been involved in pre-Cana in our parish for about the past year or so for the purposes of trying to teach NFP, and you get a little bit of background information about the couples, and you can see that when they fill out the same address on the form with different names as to where they live, that you kind of can put two and two together. And so to try to sell an idea or a teaching when they've already embraced the opposite is, you know, pretty difficult. We always tell everybody, and it is amazing, you had never heard of it being a cradle Catholic. I had never heard of natural family planning, also being a cradle Catholic and going all through medical school in an OBGYN residency and spending 20 years in women's health care and never heard about natural family planning until about 6 years ago.
Wow.
And I've told that story before on the station here, and it just amazes me that I used to think of myself as fairly well-informed you know, I mean, sure. I didn't read the Bible and I didn't study the catechism, and I guess I should have because it's there. But I never heard it in church, and we've talked about that here on this on the program, and I never heard it anywhere else, and so it is a secret and it is a shame, and that's why it is important for couples to get out and bear witness. Just to remind everyone, we are here at Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570, on our phone lines are open at 215-345-1570. And we're here with Jen and Jim Volpe, our witness couple in natural family planning. And we're talking to them about their life story. And so...
And to get back to hearing about NFP growing up as Catholic, in my household, I'm one of nine children, number eight of nine. I have a twin brother. And I never really knew about natural family planning. But as a Catholic family, we were always taught to accept children lovingly, and that we, you know, children are a gift from God, and you just accept, you know, what God gives you. So, you know, my parents didn't believe, or, you know, they thought birth control was wrong. They taught their girls, their children, that it was wrong. But we never really knew anything about NFP, you know. And I can remember in pre-Cana, we might have gotten a little bit about a rhythm method, but I never even got into that because, you know, I just accepted the fact that once you're married, you accept children lovingly.
But that was in 1970, and
yeah,
the first
that's
NFP
true.
Class in the Archdiocese
right.
of Philadelphia wasn't until 1974.
But I think there's,
so.
I think there's great hope for people today because at least they can understand their bodies more, and it's more natural to speak about your body and understand it. And sexuality is really out there now, so. It's not as uncomfortable or hidden like it used to be.
I often use that to my advantage. And when we're teaching our classes, we're also a teaching couple with the Couple to Couple League. And that's I never had any compunction against speaking about sex and about bodies and all those things.
Right.
And I realized that flowed directly into me being an NFP teacher. It's just
right.
now I do it in healthy ways instead of doing it in the unhealthy ways I might have in high school and college mm-hmm. when we were talking.
Exactly.
So when you first heard about this, Jim, from Jen, about natural family planning, and she brought it up to you, what was your first reaction, impression, thought, and where did that conversation go?
As I said before, it wasn't – I really had no obstacle, and this is why I'm happy that ignorance is our biggest obstacle, because I just didn't know anything. So if Jen said it, and I really like Jen – and if the church said it, and I liked the church, then it must be something good.
Right.
It wasn't really until we sat in our first class and I really started to learn that I really made an impression. And, of course, it was a wonderful impression. I just thought, I'm an engineer by trade. I love science. I love math. I love things you can predict and know. And all that flows into NFP. It's all just the understanding of a woman's body.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, I love Jen, and, you know, like I know things about her, like her favorite movie or her favorite flower. This is just another way to know her at the point even more intimately than some doctors, because
right.
even doctors don't get this.
Right.
Right. That's the truth.
Now, when did you take a class? Before you were married or after you were married for the Couple to Couple?
Yeah, we started, I think... We were married in July, and so I think we started our class in March. It was the first one that I was able to find. And, of course, with the Couple to Couple League, there are four classes spaced a month apart.
Right.
So we were able to fit them all in before our wedding.
And why don't you just take one moment? We have spoken before about the different types of natural family planning, but why don't you give a little plug to the type that Couple to Couple League does teach and a little bit about that organization, because I think it's very important. They are one of the largest organizations in the world teaching natural family planning. So
sure. The Couple to Couple League teaches the symptothermal method. Their general philosophy is teach everything and let couples tailor it as they find necessary. So we teach daily temperature taking, the basal body thermometer, mucus observations, cervix observations, and then also secondary signs, which aren't as helpful but can provide a little extra assurance. The philosophy, like Jen said, is four classes a month apart so that all the couples have three charts, at least two complete cycles if women are mostly healthy, that we can review with them as teachers. And also the main reason I love the couple league and stay with them now that I know of other methods is they focus very hard on keeping the man involved. And this is something that can easily become the woman's job. I don't need to know about that. She'll figure it out and she'll say, right, tonight's the night or tonight's not the night. So I really like doing this with Jen, reaching out to other couples, and building up that relationship as our new married person, mm-hmm, instead of individual persons.
Well, I think that the way the program is set up, we also teach symptothermal, not specifically trained by couple to couple, but through Harrisburg Diocese, is that men do seem to have an affinity for charts and gadgets. And so when you get into digital thermometers and you have to plot things, it seems to be a very natural guy type of thing, and not all that difficult to do. And I think that it just lends so much to the sharing and the communication that although there isn't any direct absolute proof, the divorce rates among couples who use natural family planning are less than 4% in most of the studies. And so I think that it's related to the communication aspects that the couple have to engage in when they're involved in this.
I think also emotionally for women, I think it's incredible support when their husbands are involved, which strengthens the marriage, because today's society seems to put all of this on the woman. It's all her responsibility, and this is a marriage. Two shall become one. So it is the husband's responsibility too, and also to love and nurture their wife. And I noticed with a lot of the classes that we teach, once the husbands come and learn and understand what's going on, they do want to be more involved, and it just strengthens the marriage and it helps the wife not feel so alone as far as child rearing and everything else, because it's not just about pregnancy, it's about family life, and it just flows into everything with your family life, you know. So I see it over and over again how much richer these marriages are, the people that practice NFP, because they're working together.
Now, what would be each of your individual perspectives on what you think this is, that natural family planning has done for your marriage? I know that a lot of people have a lot of different opinions about what they think it does. So from the guy's point of view and the girl's point of view, what do you think that this has done for your marriage? Either one of you can go.
In general, I would say the communication thing, I always think that's a little, it seems so fuzzy and vague, but really it does work. I always say in class, if you can talk about mucus, you can talk about anything. And just to build up that desire to talk. And if you don't have a desire to talk with natural family planning, roughly once a month, you're going to have to talk about if you're ready for another child or not. So that added, you know, as a guy, it's easier to go in a little cave and, you know, fiddle in the garage or follow your own pursuits. And this really forces you to talk. So in general, that's what I like, is that I kind of need that push all the time to make sure I'm keeping up my relationship with Jen.
I think it forces you to plan your family also. Mm-hmm. You know, people think they have their best plan, you know, they're contracepting and we'll go off the pill and we'll just get pregnant. And well, you know, that's not always happening here, but you can plan and decide, yeah, this is it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess I'd have to say that, what I think it's done is just the amount of respect that I see that he has for me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess going back even to when we were dating and I, you know, sort of laid down these laws and said, well, this is what we're going to do. And he was always respectful there. But I saw it increase as we sort of got into this and he learned about my body and how it works. And just he respects, you know, I've got some particular health issues that cause my cycle to be rather crazy. And he understands that, and he can see it, and, you know, he's willing to wait even within marriage when we need to abstain for longer periods of time than maybe some other people would need to. He respects that. And we have a 13-month-old daughter. And at the beginning, right after we had her, I started noticing that I was feeling kind of down, and it turns out that I had postpartum depression. And as we were struggling through that, of course, there were long periods of time when I wasn't wanting to engage in relations, and just the amount of respect he had for me through that, and the practice of abstinence before this big crisis enabled him to, you know, do the things that he needed to do to help me through it without pushing for the sex or things like that.
Right, because that marriage is more than, you know, sexual contact. It's really loving and nurturing one another. And I think that really, the NFP really strengthens that aspect of marriage.
You kind of hit on the one of the biggest criticisms of natural family planning, and that is the abstinence piece. Why don't you speak to that as a young couple that's been married for a couple of years? Why don't you speak to just exactly how much or how little is required in the program with women that have, you know, any kind of cycles, and where that fits in, and whether or not that's difficult? Because one of the criticisms, you know, that you hear is, "Well, you want me to do what? For how long? What, are you crazy?" And so, why don't you speak to that for just a moment or two?
I've found, as Jen said, that abstinence is really something you have to practice. And just being my engineer self and thinking about it logically, I realize there's any number of situations. If I'm on travel for business, or if, you know, if Jen's sick, or if one of us is in the hospital because we've got cancer or something, where obviously this is the type, you know, relations aren't anywhere on the scope. So the practice of it is something you develop. And I think as Catholics, especially as cradle Catholics, you kind of get this impression that, okay, if I'm able to wait until marriage, then it's a free-for-all. Like, I've done, God will be so happy with me that it doesn't matter. And realizing that it's not, that's a very greedy, what I can get image, really makes it, increases the abstinential value for me. So that I can use that as a prayer, just as in Catholics we fast from things that are good. And we're not saying they're bad when we fast from them. We're just saying it's so good, I better not have it now because I could falsely idolize it. That abstinence helped me improve my respect for sexual relations through not doing it, which is very countercultural.
Mm-hmm. And again, our phone lines are open, 215-345-1570. Give us a call if you have a comment or a question, or you just want to say hi. 215-345-1570.
And if there are any other witness couples out there who either agree or have more to add or even disagree on natural family planning issues, give us a call and let us know. I know that whole drive home crowd is just anxious to listen to Catholic radio on Friday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m., especially about natural family planning. So,
well,
give us a buzz and ring us up.
I have to say that I know people are out there because I went with Les this week to Our Lady of Grace for a presentation, and people came up to us and said, "Oh, we listen to you all the time."
So, but they never call.
Yeah, so if you're out there, give us a call, 215-345-1570.
Now, my favorite question, and this is always interesting, and none of these are difficult. What do your friends, your peers, think? I'm sure you get into conversations at times, either individually or as a couple when you go out with friends and stuff. What do your friends think about your decision relative to natural family planning?
Well, I'd have to say that we've been fortunate to find a lot of friends who do practice natural family planning.
Oh, praise God.
Wonderful.
That's great.
So we actually are in a Bible study with a lot of our friends who either we taught or we met and found out that they were doing natural family planning as well. So that's been a grace for us. But as far as our other friends, I've tried specifically to talk to some of my friends as they were preparing for marriage and tell them about natural family planning and tell them how much, you know, how effective it is, how good it can be for your marriage, how much better it is than the birth control pill. And just, they kind of don't listen. They go back to their doctor and say, well, is the pill really an abortifacient? And the doctor says, no, it's not. And so they believe the doctor. Or they ask about natural family planning and the doctor says, well, that doesn't really work. It's not very effective. You want to do this. And so that's what they end up doing.
Right.
So they kind of think, well, we're just those crazy Catholics over there doing this thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're willing to take more chances or something. And they're just not willing to have 8 children or something like that.
Yeah, they just automatically think you
they
can have
exactly
a lot of kids. But I think that there's not enough support system for couples like you, unfortunately. But I, on the other hand, I do think that it is growing. And there is more of an awareness. So hopefully, you know, as time goes by, more awareness will come about, and especially the younger generation that is starting to say, "Hey, wait a minute, I'm gonna practice this. I'm gonna revert back to the real faithfulness of the church, and I'm gonna live my life that way."
And that's what we find among our friends. I mean, they're all younger. Most of them are actually converts to the faith too. And I think what's happening is it takes time for us to build almost a completely new social network, like something like this young couples who want to really live the church teachings. Not that it didn't exist before, it's just it existed more naturally. There were there were people in the parish automatically. Whereas now it's kind of more like picking up stragglers, like you see those people who are staying after Mass or they're the people. Well, one of our students came to our class they wanted to learn natural family planning. But they had just converted, and they wanted to find people who were really serious about their faith. And they figured that's a good place to do it, and that's how a lot of us have caught up with each other.
Wow, that's beautiful.
It amazes me that the cradle Catholics take for granted so much of the teaching of the church or don't even know it, and converts to the faith, when they learn it, embrace it so much more strongly. That I hear this all the time. One of the things, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, but I'm just totally blown away that you heard about it in RCIA and that they brought in a witness couple, because most of the RCIA couples or programs, and it's a natural that you would put it in an RCI program, because what are you teaching? You're teaching church teachings, and you're telling people that are wanting to learn and study the faith, this is what the Catholic Church teaches. And let's bring somebody in and bear witness to it, just like all the other teachings. But they don't do it there. They don't do it in pre-Jordan. They do a so-so job in pre-Canaan. It really varies from parish to parish. And it depends on whether or not there is a couple that knows that natural family planning that can come in and teach it. So I think that the converts seem to embrace this much more strongly than the cradle Catholics. How would you think... both of you being from the backgrounds that you mentioned, would be the best way to get the word out about natural family planning? What are your thoughts on that? Besides WISP 1570 radio, you know.
I was kind of raised a networker. I've been given that gift through my parents and through God. So that's like I'm talking about the social network of just building up those contacts. And mostly, I mean, that's how I really see it happening, is building these deep friendships with people. And that fosters more growth than just through being a living witness in the world that way.
Well, I would definitely like to see the priests talking about natural family planning from the pulpit. Just getting up there and just saying, you know, there is this wonderful thing out there that can help your marriage.
Right.
And a lot of priests are afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of feel like if they say something like that, then they're going to get all these people storming up to them after Mass saying, why are you talking about this? I don't want you talking about this type of thing in front of my kids.
Right.
And, I mean, in some cases it has happened. But I think we need people who are kind of in authority, like the priests, like doctors, to come forward and say it. Because, as I said, whenever I talk to my friends, I give them all kinds of brochures that we have. I tell them how it's been helpful in our marriage. I tell them all the benefits that I know of. And they still kind of look at me and go, well, that's for you. And they don't have these authority figures coming in and telling them that this is a good thing.
Right. I agree with you.
What parish are you in, by the way?
We're currently at Mother of Divine Providence in King of Prussia. And actually, it brings up another point. We were just recently speakers on natural family planning at their RCIA program.
Oh, wonderful. Fabulous.
Yeah. And I was impressed. That's definitely a way to grow it. More than anywhere else at RCIA, I think I could have just said, this is what the church teaches, and everyone would have agreed. And I'm so used to big obstacles and drawn-out philosophy.
Yeah. Right.
It was so refreshing for me as a teacher that there's just some people who are ready to follow, you know, wherever the Lord takes them, especially if it's scary, it seems to me.
Now, have you ever approached any of the priests, and I'm not asking you to be specific, but have you ever approached any of the priests in your parish and asked them to speak or do a homily on NFP, and what was the response?
We have. We've worked with our parish priest before, and he's been very open to it. It's more the ignorance issue seems to be the main one. When he was in the seminary, he didn't learn anything about it. He doesn't feel comfortable that he knows things about it. I think there's a tendency to make it a conspiracy that they're trying to hide it. I think it's really, you speak from your strength, you speak from what you know, and just some priests, that many priests haven't been taught it, don't have the gift. Like, say, Father Hogan, who works with CCL, has done a great job as a priest speaking of natural family planning, but you can only, someone who goes out and buys a book or listens to a tape already knows something. It's hard to get to that point.
Well, Betty always says that we don't really need the priest to speak to the mucus and temperature and the nuts and the bolts from the pulpit. We just need them to say the words. We need them to do a reading, like in a 3-year cycle, all the readings of the Old and New Testament in the Bible are covered in the readings from the pulpit. And so there are opportunities, and we had a lecture a few years ago at the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Conference that one of the priests got up, and Father Tim Christie from over at St. Magdalene's in Flemington, and talked about how to give a homily. And he said, you know, you can give a homily on the Feast of the Annunciation, around the Feast of the Nativity, during Natural Family Planning Week, the Feast of the Holy Family. There are various celebrations, liturgical celebrations throughout the year that speak to family, parents, and children, that are the perfect opportunities to mention about families and about children and about birth regulation and just say the phrase. And then at the end, throw in the plug, and we have a couple, and if you're interested, call the rectory, contact, you know, the bulletin, or call the family life office, or do something else, and then put the brochures back in the nave of the church and let people pick them up on their way out for the ones that are interested. But it's like pulling teeth to even get them to say the phrase. So every year I invite all the priests and deacons at St. Ignatius in Yardley to give a homily during Natural Family Planning Awareness Week in July, and for the last 2 years in a row, all four of them have accommodated and given a homily.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And it's been positively received. Nobody, even though you would think it was just so beautiful the way they presented the information, and very strong. Last year we had a homily from one of the priests, and he not only spoke very pro-NFP, he also spoke very anti-contraception, which kind of went really over the line to the next level. Yeah. So,
but I think, too, that we have to offer those people in parishes need to stand up and let their priests know that they believe in this and that they practice NFP so that the priest has a backup couple, because they can speak of the religious aspects of our faith, but they really need to have a couple that can embrace these other couples that need to learn more about it. So if there's anybody out there that practices NFP and you're in a big parish, let your priest know that you're willing to be helpful to someone in the parish that needs help.
And if you don't know how to become a witness couple and you're interested, you can write an email to the station at holyspiritradio.org, and we will get back to you and give you information. Or you can call now and ask a question, and we'll have a witness couple give you the answer as to what you can do and how you can get involved. So I think we actually have a caller online now, and we'll be queuing her in just a moment. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is Janet.
Hi, it's Les Ruppersberger. Thanks for calling the station. How are you?
Good. I just want to thank you and Betty for the work that you're doing on Holy Spirit Radio. And I also want to thank the witness couple, Jennifer and James. I just want to say for myself, and for maybe older couples out there, it's never too late, as long as you're still menstruating, to open yourself up to natural family planning. And for myself, that didn't happen till 5 years ago, when I heard these words, that it is never permissible to contracept under any circumstances. And when you hear a phrase like that, there is no gray in that statement.
Wow.
There is never any reason, and any permissible reason to contracept. And it was at that point, hearing those words on Catholic radio, that I had to turn to my husband and say, I didn't know this. I thought because of medical issues, for me, there'd be an exemption to that rule. And once I went and spoke to a priest, which took a lot of, it took a lot for me to, face a priest and talk about this issue, but he suggested that I look into natural family planning.
Well, even exemption for health, right. Sometimes you're hurting your health more by using hormonal drugs or whatever.
Well, we were using a condom.
Yeah.
So that part wasn't an issue, but I just wanted to say that once I got the brochure, and I remember going into our bedroom and putting it on the bed and saying to my husband, I didn't realize that as Catholics, because I was growing into my faith at this point and becoming more aware and searching more about my faith and wanting to live the faith in every aspect of my life, that I said, honey, we really need to open ourselves up to natural family planning. And he looked at me and he said, no, I'm not open to natural family planning. I do not want to take any risks with your life, with you getting pregnant. And that was the end of our conversation. I left the brochure there, and then I turned to our Blessed Mother Mary, and I prayed. And I said, Mary, I trust in you. I know that in time you will open up his heart, and you will reveal to him that this is something that we need to do in our lives. And I went and I prayed every day. I was not the one contracepting. He was. I went to a priest. I went to confession. And
right.
And I loved my husband. I didn't deny my husband. I wasn't the one contracepting, but I honored him because I want to honor our Lord. And and how can we serve God best is in serving our husband and our family. So it was through prayer. And one day out of the blue, a year later, without nagging or doing anything, he came to me and he said, I'm now ready to take natural family planning. I do not know what changed his mind. But we immediately called and took the class with you and Dr. Ruppersberger. And my husband, after the first evening, said to me, this is a secret. This is the best kept secret of the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone should know about natural family planning. And we now have become witness couples in our parish and with our pre-Cana. And we witness the natural family planning and the beauty. And I have never felt more of a closeness to my husband in all the years that we're married than when we actually became totally open through the giving of each other through natural family planning. And it does absolutely work.
And it is safe.
It is safe. And
it's all in our mind that it's not,
fear. And every month becomes a new wedding night, a new little honeymoon, because you have that anticipation. And that time together that we are abstaining, we're getting a lot of work done around the house. And we're getting more sleep and more energy. So that the time that we can be open, because, that's a part of our time when we're least fertile.
Mm-hmm.
We are. We enjoy that. But then we also, in the back of our mind, accept the fact that if life does come, even during this infertile phase, however small of a risk there is, we are both open to accepting that in our life. So it's not we should never look at natural family planning as avoiding pregnancy, because we only avoid things that are really bad for us, and we shouldn't look at children as, they're gifts from God in our life.
We have to trust God that he's going
to
take care of us.
It comes down to trust, but, when you see the scientific aspect behind natural family planning, which I think is more attractive to the men, the science aspect. For me, it was the moral aspect. I didn't need to hear about the science. But my husband needed to hear about the science. And once he did, he was sold. I mean, I mean, not only sold, but he's out there proclaiming how wonderful it is.
Well,
and not only, and just the fact that it's wonderful for the marriage, that it really does build you up as a couple. Mm-hmm. And our love is stronger than ever. And there's just, there's no pretense. You know, that contraception spills over into other aspects of your life. You develop like a contraceptive attitude with withholding other things from each other. You have such more of an openness between the two of you that it's just been a wonderful gift. So I encourage those who maybe their partner is not open to it, don't give up. Pray, give them to our Blessed Mother, and just, you know, hang in there, because I just believe that in God's time, all things will come for His good when we are faithful to Him. And just live a good Christian Catholic life, and God is always there for us. Just don't turn away from Him.
Well, thanks very much, Janet.
Thank you
for your witness and your testimony.
Well, thank you all.
And thanks for calling in.
And I hope that more people will now, from hearing you, you know, be open to taking the class. It doesn't hurt to take the class. It's very reasonable. It's cheaper than a dinner out for two people.
And now actually, there are scholarships. You don't have to pay anything. So.
Well, it's the best evening out, and it'll create many more beautiful evenings for the rest of your life together. God bless you all.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye.
And again, if you take a class, just like Jim and Jen said, you meet other people that want to learn this and that are strong in their faith and, you know, want to walk that journey. But I think, too, that if you are married to someone that, you know, perhaps you've been married for a while or whatever, and somebody's not on board with this, you have to be patient with your spouse. Because marriage is about true love. It's not about demanding of someone else. Mm-hmm. And be patient and loving and kind. And God will turn this around for you because it's in God's hands.
Now, you mentioned a little while ago your baby. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your baby and her name and when she was born and how that all came about and...
Well, I guess I'll start with a little bit about us trying to get our baby, our first baby. We kind of decided when we got married that we were going to postpone for a while. And then this, you know, into the first year or so, we're like, well, we don't really have any good reason not to have a child now. So we decided to start trying. And we thought, you know, as soon as we start trying, we're going to get a baby. It's just going to happen, you know. We know everything. We can tell. I'm ovulating right about here. We can, you know, target things right in the right area. Well, it didn't work out that way. As I said before, I have some health problems. And
I think, like the caller said, the health aspects became very important at that point, that not only did we know we hadn't made Jen's health situation worse with contraception, but we had knowledge. Whether we could convince a doctor of that knowledge is a second step. Which led us to find Dr. Less, but at least we knew some things and we could do research on our own and try to, you know, do a little self-diagnosis or figure out what's going to be best for us. So it was quite a while of trying, a lot of praying.
About 2.5 years it took us just trying and praying and trying to find out, you know, what exactly is wrong with me. And I ended up with a diagnosis of polycystic ovary syndrome. It seems to be fairly mild, but it was enough to cause some problems there. So, of course, right around the time that we got pregnant, we were looking at the chart. And if you're charting, you can kind of tell your temperature goes up after ovulation, and then it'll go up some more, typically, whenever you're pregnant. And so we kind of saw the secondary rise start, and then we're waiting for our 21 days of high temperature to kind of see. And then, of course, we were going to head over to Dr. Less and see, you know, for sure if we were pregnant. And we're watching the temperature go up and think, this is a possibility. But by that point, I had been so frustrated. I had just kind of given it to God and said, I just don't think we're gonna get pregnant, but we'll keep trying. And then I had set a deadline around September. We'll start looking at adoption or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just amazed when it happened. It was such, and it's always a miracle when you conceive, but just after waiting so long, it seemed like even that much more miraculous.
Especially, I'd always hope our daughter, Maria, is named after her maternal grandmother. I mean, her paternal grandmother, my grandmother. And I had always hoped that, our children, I hoped all of our children, of course, would get to meet my grandmother. But she just passed recently, so we were very happy that she was born in just enough time for them to get to meet each other and know each other. And that's been exciting. And also, we've been happy to discover through NFP that Jen's polycystic ovary syndrome is not serious because we have just recently conceived our second child. And the beauty grace of NFP opening us up to, hey, it took a long time last time, so we might as well start.
Right.
And to have such quick success is stunning.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And nothing like being able to announce it on public radio for the first time.
Yeah,
so anybody out there that knows the Volpes, congratulations to them and praise God.
God has given them another gift. And doesn't it make you appreciate so much more that you're pregnant and you're created a new life?
Every bit of life gets better.
I
know our friends have gotten... It's so it can be scary as a Catholic because when you have a kid, you're going to get that like, oh, or you're just having kids nonstop. You're crazy. So it's good to have a group of friends who we know will support us. And even if this was maybe a little earlier than we would have planned, obviously we're not in charge, as we discovered when it took 2 years to conceive Maria. So it's very nice. It's kind of amongst those friends we have a little competition to see who can announce things. So I'm hoping I set the bar pretty high on this one with the radio announcements.
We're probably getting a lot of calls now from your friends that want to come on and be interviewed. But they all have to convert to natural family planning before it actually happens. The one other thing that I wanted to bring out before, we only have about 5 minutes left in the program, and we do want to reserve the last couple of minutes for a couple of announcements. But one thing, Jim, that you mentioned a little while ago in being an engineer is that you like to network. Can you mention a little bit about your involvement with the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network and why you got involved in that?
Sure. The why, as for most people, seems to be Barbara Rose. I was contacted when I was new to the area, new teacher. I was looking into what NFP stuff happened in the area, and Barbara Rose found me. I found her. And she let me know about the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network. And I was chosen and elected to be a board member. I've been a board member for the past 2.5 years. It's very exciting. We serve a niche in the PNFPN that doesn't always get filled, which is a chance for local NFP providers to find each other, to find a support group, which has been really exciting. We've had the chances to be part of the conferences and help plan them, where we had Christopher West speak last time on the theology behind natural family planning. And, of course, the upcoming convention, which you'll be mentioning, was very exciting
to us.
Actually,
you can mention it right now if you want.
Yeah, wow. Here you go.
There's the brochure.
The upcoming convention is at St. Mary's Medical Center, Saturday, March 4th. And it's about authentic Catholic health care. This was something that was very important to us, as we said, with Jen's health problems, that we want to know how to treat it, not only most effectively, but also truthfully, according to the teachings of the church. So we have some great speakers. I know the bottom up, we're very excited about Dr. Fitzgibbons coming to talk about some of the more psychological aspects. And we have Faith Daggs talking about NAPRO technology, which is another great NFP tool to treat your health. And Father McMahon talking about ethics in Catholic healthcare, and chastity, which is one of the big NFP decisions, crosses, if you will, but beneficial crosses, who would be Father Doherty talking about that. And then finally, Dr. Cassidy talking about, Father Dr. Cassidy, about what's the Catholic in a Catholic hospital really mean.
But one that you missed, and this is a big one, I think, because a lot of men out there, a lot of couples don't realize that men have a lot of problems with their fertility. So we have Dr. Joseph Harryhill, and he's going to speak about reproductive health care for men. And this is a beautiful doctor who has who's the counterpart to Les, but on the male side, and his mission, he's a young urologist. His mission is to go and do as many vasectomy reversals as he possibly can.
That's spectacular. Yeah.
So he has a lot to do with the Catholic faith and the reproductive health care for men. So that's going to be another big one. But, Jim, why don't you tell them where they can go to find out how to register and who or what they can do to call. And I think it's the website.
Yeah, the website is www.pnfpn.org. The cost is $15 per person, $25 per couple, $10 for religious and students. We provide you with breakfast and lunch for the day. We'll have some vendors selling a variety of books and such.
And if you need more information, you can call the radio station here at 215-345-1570, and they'll be happy to lead you to the right people. But this is going to be held on March 4th. We need you to register as soon as possible so that we know how many lunches we have to get. But this is going to be an excellent, excellent conference. And again, it is Authentic Catholic Healthcare at St. Mary Medical Center, March the 4th.
One final announcement before we let Jim and Jen get the last word. And that's WISP is having their annual banquet. It's the 7th anniversary on March 19th of Holy Spirit Radio here at WISP. And they're celebrating on Sunday, March the 26th at the Williamson Restaurant, a 4 p.m. cocktail hour reception, 5 p.m. dinner. And the keynote speaker will be Teresa Tamio, who's appeared frequently on CNBC, and she's a Catholic media specialist and also appears on EWTN. It's $50 a person. You can get a table. Williamson's is located in Horsham, and you can contact the radio station at holyspirit.org. And I'm being told now, Jen and Jim, that we only have 30 seconds, so we can just let you take 28 of them to say goodbye and sign off to your friends. And thank you very much for being our guest today.
Sure. Thanks for having us, Dr. Les. Yeah, we wholeheartedly believe NFP is the best-kept secret in the church. I encourage you to find out, especially for us, through www.ccli.org, which is the Couple-to-Couple League, and it changes your life.
Yeah, and it's packed full of all kinds of information, so I'd encourage you to go there and just check it out.
And thanks very much, and have a beautiful weekend, everyone. And remember, NFP is for life.
You've been listening to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. NFP for Life is produced by Holy Spirit Radio and can be heard on the third Friday of every month at 4 p.m. and encores the following Sunday at 2 p.m.